Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
This word participation is a translation of the Greek word koinonia, partnership, fellowship. The term is used of two men buying a boat. There is a shared vision, a shared activity, and a shared cost. You see, this relationship between Paul and the Philippians is an intimate partnership. Partnership in the gospel, the NIV says.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In the opening of his letter to the Philippians, Paul emphasizes grace and peace. Grace is God's love and kindness that we don't deserve, and we all desire peace. Regardless of any circumstances in our life, both can be found in Jesus Christ. Today on The Verdict, Pastor John Monroe explains the blessings that come when we live and fellowship together as partners in the gospel.
Last time we began a new series in the book of Philippians. It's a fascinating letter, a short one with only four chapters. Again, I encourage you to keep reading and rereading this wonderful New Testament book. Having heard the Macedonian call, Paul and his companions had set sail across the Aegean Sea and arrived about 10 miles from Philippi. This was the way the gospel of Jesus Christ came to the great continent of Europe. It was only a small group comprising Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. What could four men do in this city which had been conquered by the Romans? But in the grace of God, souls are saved, and a new church is formed. We saw that Paul's focus in the book of Philippians is on the gospel. So let's continue our study.
Turn now to the book of Philippians, and we're going to look at the first six verses. Philippians 1 then, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We want to see four things from these verses. First of all, from verse 1, the preachers of the gospel. We see in verse 1 that this letter comes from Paul and Timothy. Paul is the writer of the gospel, but Timothy is so closely connected to the Philippians that Paul includes him as he writes this letter. Timothy was with Paul when this church was founded, when it was planted. He's with him when the letter is written, and Paul hopes to send Timothy to the Philippines shortly, as we see in chapter 2, verse 19. So we see, first of all, in verse 1, the preachers of the gospel. But secondly, we also see in verse 1, the recipients of the gospel. Now, who was in the church at Philippi? Who were the initial converts in Philippi? If you've never read through Acts chapter 16, let me encourage you to read it this week. But the first convert at Philippi, we know from Acts 16, was a woman, a businesswoman called Lydia. So Lydia is part of the local church at Philippi. But who else is there? Well, the next convert possibly was a slave girl. She was demon-possessed, and she was used by her masters for fortune-telling. And Paul commands the evil spirit to come out of her. But the next conversion at Philippi was the one we know the best, and it was the most dramatic. Paul and Silas are arrested, and they're thrown into the inner prison. And can you imagine what happened? The God who opened the heart of Lydia, the God whose power cast out the evil spirit from the slave girl, is the God who sends an earthquake. And the jailer, expecting all of the prisoners to escape, is about to take his own life when Paul says, "Don't panic. None of the prisoners have escaped." And the jailer then asks that most famous question: "What must I do to be saved?" So we have, first of all, the preachers of the gospel. Secondly, the recipients of the gospel. And now in verse 2, the content of the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's greeting includes the two great words of the gospel. Grace and peace. What is grace? Grace is God's love, God's kindness to those who are totally undeserving of it. The gospel is that God in Christ has done it all and now offers us freely as a gift what we don't deserve, namely salvation and eternal life. But that has to be received by you. And so Paul says to the jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. In other words, receive what God is freely offering you in his Son, Jesus Christ. The other great word, of course, is peace. Central to the gospel is peace, spiritual well-being. Remember the word of the angels when the day of Christ's birth, it is peace on earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes as the Prince of Peace. Paul says in Ephesians 2:14 that he himself is our peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing I found that every human being wants, peace. The most important peace is peace with God. That is central to being at peace with ourselves, to have peace in our homes, peace in our relationships, peace in the church, to have this experience of spiritual well-being. And it all comes through Jesus Christ, who is the great peacemaker. And so Paul is reminding the Philippians of these two great words of the gospel, that grace and peace are available to you from God our Father when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, the preachers of the gospel. Secondly, the recipients of the gospel. Third, the content of the gospel. Finally, the fellowship of the gospel. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. We have fourth, the fellowship of the gospel. And we see here that Paul is so thankful for the Philippians. He thanks God, verse 3, in all his remembrance of them. Every time he thinks about the Philippians, he's thankful for them. Notice how Paul starts his prayer. Different from the way we pray often, isn't it? He starts with thankfulness, even although he is in prison. So often our prayers start and finish with our requests to make life more comfortable for ourselves. Paul doesn't pray for his release here, nor does he ask the Philippians to pray that his life would be more comfortable for him. Rather, he thanks God for the Philippians. He also offers, verse 4, this prayer with joy. And that is one of the great themes in the book of Philippians. Now notice this. This is so important. Paul's joy is not linked to his personal comfort. Paul's joy is not linked to his personal circumstances. Let's face it, they're pretty bad. Here is a godly man, and it seems that his ministry is over. He's in prison. His joy is not linked to Paul. His joy is linked to the progress of the gospel. His joy is linked to Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what gives me joy? Is my joy linked to my personal comfort? Do we rejoice honestly when souls are saved? We get excited when a sports team win. We get excited when financially we do better. But do we get excited and do we experience real joy when we hear of the progress of the gospel? Here in Charlotte, but throughout the world. Biblical joy is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not based on our circumstances, but based on our relationship with Christ. You see, the wonder of the Christian faith is that no one can sever my relationship with Christ. Like the Philippians, we are saints in Christ Jesus. There is that tremendous security. And joyful people are invariably thankful people, not complaining people. Now, there are three related reasons Paul gives for his thanksgiving and joy. First, he is thankful that the Philippians continue to remember him. That must have meant so much to Paul in prison. They are standing with Paul for the cause of Christ. They are in Philippi. He is in Rome, many miles away. But over a period of 10 years, they have not forgotten him. And when he thinks of them, he thanks God with joy. Secondly, they have a continuing, verse 5, participation in the gospel, partnership in the gospel, the NIV says. Epaphroditus coming to Paul from Philippi with a gift. He's almost going to die. But Paul says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. This word participation is a translation of the Greek word koinonia, partnership, fellowship. The term is used of two men buying a boat. There is a shared vision, a shared activity, and a shared cost. You see, this relationship between Paul and the Philippians is an intimate partnership. He says it began now 10 years ago. He can think back as he's writing. No doubt he's thinking of Lydia. He's thinking of the jailer. He's thinking of other converts as that church were planted. And he says, I give thanks to God with joy when I'm praying for you in view of your fellowship, your koinonia in the gospel from the first day. There was Lydia opening her home. There was the jailer taking them into his home. You participated with me from then until now. An active and continuing participation in the gospel. They prayed for him. They provided for him materially. They sent Epaphroditus to him. Everything they could do, these Philippian believers did. A good example to us, isn't it? Consistently sharing Paul's passion for the gospel. You see, Christian fellowship involves an active commitment to a shared vision. Can I challenge each one of you to be an active partner in the gospel at church, serving the Lord with gladness? That's true fellowship, isn't it? Some of you on a Saturday feed the homeless and share Christ. And some of you have done that for several years. Praise God. A partnership in the gospel. Some of you for many years have taught our children the gospel. Some of you have faithfully ministered in your neighborhood, sharing Christ, a commitment to the gospel from the first day until now. Easy to start something with enthusiasm, but these Philippines are an example to us of perseverance and continuance. Third, Paul here in verse 6, thanks God for God's continuing work in their lives. I'm confident, says Paul, of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is confident that the work of God's grace in them will continue until the day of their glorification. He was there, he remembers well, the day when that good work began, when they came to Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm confident that that good work in you will continue until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, some commentators restrict the good work in verse 6 to the giving of the gift, and certainly includes that. But I believe that Paul is writing about God's work in them as well as through them. The good work was begun in their hearts by God. It was God who opened Lydia's heart. It was the power of God which cast out the evil spirit and the slave girl. It was God who sent the earthquake which resulted in the jailer's salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And how wonderful to know, brothers and sisters, this is so thrilling to me, that when God begins a good work in our life, he has a long-term plan in view. I remember the day when God began a good work in me, when I came to Christ as a boy of 12. Long time ago now. But God not only begins the work, he will one day bring it to perfect fruition. It is guaranteed. Those whom God calls, those whom he justifies, Paul says in Romans 8, those he glorifies. Isn't that wonderful to know? Doesn't that give you great security? If you've been saved by God's grace, a good work has begun in you, and that good work will continue until that great day when we will be perfectly like Christ Jesus. Paul is confident that is true in the Philippians, and I trust you have that confidence that you're truly saved by God's grace. Now, if you're not saved by God's grace, you can't have this confidence. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there can be no security. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've experienced the peace of God in your heart, that good work God will complete until the day of Christ Jesus. Now let me give you in the closing minutes four concluding challenges to emphasize some of the points that are very obvious. Number one, be thankful. Challenge number one, be thankful. Follow the example of Paul. Although he was imprisoned, he was a thankful person. He's going to write in chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. No complainers, no mumbling, be thankful. Why is that so hard for us? You say, well, I'm naturally a kind of gloomy, lugubrious person. That may be. You know, you can't help that. It's tough for you to smile. Okay. But Paul is not talking about a personality type. He's talking about a thankfulness from our soul to be thankful. One of the things that is happening in our society with the dumbing down of our society, that our manners are suffering. Even in the non-spiritual realm, it seems that less and less people are thankful. People receive something and they can hardly say thank you. That's sad, isn't it? Men, do you thank your wife for all she does? Wives, do you thank your husbands? You thankful for your work? Do you ever thank your boss for employment? Or are you complaining that he or she doesn't acknowledge your brilliance as much as you think they should? Be thankful. But in the spiritual realm, we have so much to be thankful for. We sang about God saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And of all of the blessings that we have, that God's grace and God's peace is on us, we take no credit for that. Salvation is of the Lord, so be thankful. Secondly, related to that, is be joyful. Philippians is a letter of amazing joy. Lenski in his commentary writes, joy is the music that runs through this epistle, the sunshine that spreads over all of it. Joy. Biblical joy is based on relationship, not on personal circumstances. As Christians, we shouldn't behave like spoiled children who feel that everything has to go according to our plans and wishes. Be a joyful, thankful, praising Christian. May our chiefest joy always be Jesus Christ. And when we worship, be joyful. Serve the Lord with gladness, being thankful and being joyful. Challenge number three. Number one, be thankful. Number two, be joyful. Number three, be involved in this fellowship, this partnership, this participation of the gospel. Ask God, if you don't have this, to give you a passion for Christ and the progress of the gospel. That when you hear of someone coming to Christ, when you hear one of your brothers and sisters witnessing to someone about Christ, that excites you. Will you commit to being a partner with us in the gospel, serving the Lord with gladness as the gospel is spread? You say, how do I do this? Pray for souls to be saved. Will you do that? I challenge all of us this morning to share the gospel with someone this week. That begins with prayer, isn't it? You can't open hearts. You can't certainly send an earthquake. You can't cast out an evil spirit in your own strength. And so what must we do? We must pray for God to act. Pray for souls to be saved. Some of you have family members, as I do, who are not believers in Jesus Christ. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for those who preach and teach the gospel. Pray that many people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the ministry of church this year. That many of our children, many of our students, many adults, many people who come through these doors from this community who don't know the gospel will be won for Jesus Christ. Will you pray? Secondly, encourage those who are sharing the gospel. Our Sunday school teachers, our adult life group, our youth workers, our missionaries, our pastors, those who are at the front line. Stand with them. Be a partner with them in the spread of the gospel. Third, to give financially to the work of the Lord. These Philippians were poor people, but they were, as we will learn in the book, outstandingly generous. If you're passionate for the gospel, you will give to the work of the Lord. And also, fourthly, personally display and proclaim Christ's love and truth. Don't say, well, I'll pray for the missionaries. I'll pray for you, Pastor Monroe, as you preach the gospel to people. I appreciate that. You should do that. But you also must be on the front line. Each one of us is to be displaying Christ. Each one of us is to be proclaiming Christ. God, this year, may well call some of you to leave Charlotte and to go thousands of miles away to tell people about Christ. But he may send you across the corridor in your office. He may send you into your own home to tell your mother, your father, your child, your grandfather, your brother, your sister, about God's amazing love. Whether it's far away or whether it's near, each one of us has a responsibility to share the gospel. So lesson one, be thankful. Lesson two, be joyful. Lesson three, be involved in the fellowship, the partnership of the gospel. Final lesson, lesson four, make sure you have received Christ's grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. That you are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There may well be someone here listening to me, and you don't know that you're saved by God's grace. Myself and others, men and women here, would be delighted to pray with you and to tell you about Jesus Christ and to follow the example of this Roman jailer that we call the Philippine jailer, who when he heard, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," believed, and so was saved. Follow his example. Trust the Savior, and may all of us live a life of grace and peace. Help us to do that, our Father and our God. Thank you for these encouraging words written 2,000 years ago, but coming to us today. And we want to be like the Philippians, to have a heart for the gospel. And help us to be faithful witnesses. Help us to have lives which truly display Christ, as we ask it in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Partnership in the Gospel. We'll be continuing this brand new study in Philippians when we return tomorrow. But before then, we hope you'll take a moment to visit our website and request your free copy of John's new booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. This helpful resource will give you a clear biblical understanding of sin and help you recognize how different sins can manifest in our lives. Ultimately, you'll be encouraged because God has provided a Savior, and there's hope for each one of us to receive forgiveness and redemption. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of the book, Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters, today by going online to theverdict.org. On our homepage, you can also sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. And while you're online, we also want to invite you to take a new step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of this radio ministry. You can join our efforts to share God's word by sending a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And then be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast and gain access to all of our daily programs, along with John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open up your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you received the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved by grace? Remember, we're not saved by our works, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Pray that you will be passionate about sharing the transforming message of the gospel with others. May we be like Paul and have our joy linked not to our personal interests, our comfortable lifestyle, or our individual circumstances, but to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.